Christ, giving him everything that we have. Look how beautiful that is. Look how beautiful that is. He wants you to surrender your heart. Your heart has to be postured. It has to be postured. How we fight is when we open our mouths. We praise him. We say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. That's how we fight in the spirit. Lift him up in the name of Jesus. We came to worship a God that is in control of all things. Even your tiny little problems, he's in control of all things. And all he wants is your surrender. All he wants is for you to raise your hands up. And sometimes your surrender is on the ground like this. Sometimes your surrender is with your face on the ground. But he said all he wants is you. Whatever that looks like for you, all he wants is you. I'm gonna try to move forward, but the Holy Spirit said that all he wants is you. He wants your heart postured. He wants your mind. He wants your body. He wants you to glorify him with your limbs. He wants you to glorify him with your voice. He wants you to glorify him with all of your senses where you can see him. The veil is broken. He's right here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Speak to your Father. Cry out to him. Whatever you need, he can give it to you right now. You can walk out of this building today and be brand new. He can give it to you right now, but you got to ask him for it. You got to open your mouth and you got to ask him for it. He wants to bless you. He wants to put it all together for you. He wants to mend you. He wants to heal you. He doesn't want you to be broken. You are perfect in him. You are complete in him because he went to the cross. All because he went to the cross for you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this very moment, God. You are faithful, Lord. Your spirit is unmatched. There's nothing that can overcome your spirit. There's nothing that can overcome you, Jesus. We are grateful, God. We are thankful that all you want is us. If we would just give it over to you, Lord. It's easier to do than we think when we surrender. You see, when we lift up our hands, everything that's weighted on our shoulders falls off. It falls off. So sometimes when you're carrying something heavy, all you have to do is lift up your hands and it falls off in the name of Jesus. So God, we thank you for the surrender, Lord. We thank you, God, for who you are, Lord God. And as we get into this word, oh God, I'm gonna go ahead and pray. I pray that the hearts and the minds are prepared for it, Lord. It may be an elementary sermon, but God, it's needed, Lord. And so we thank you in advance for what you're about to do, God. And we pray that you would allow us to pull up to this table to eat your word, to digest it, that it would become a part of us, Lord, and that we would be able to allow it to come out of our actions, God. And eventually, Lord, that we'd be able to pass it on to somebody else, oh God. So Lord God, as you have already had your way, Lord God, we just pray that you would remain with us in this time. And as we go to our seats, oh God, we pray that you would just touch us, Lord, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. We thank you for our worship team. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit. And we just lift up your name on high, oh God. So Lord God, we honor you. Lord God, we love you and we lift you up. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, we pray and ask these things. Amen. God is so good, y'all. God is so good. He's so good. He's so good. You can have a seat. I'm going to go ahead and get into this word on today. Now, as you're going to your seat, we're going to go to Philippians 4. And it's one verse, but we're going to kind of jump around a little bit on today. And I'm going to preach this the way that I feel like the Lord has led me to preach it, as his vessel, as his offering, right? So let's go ahead and dig into it. And it's a familiar verse. It is Philippians 4:8. When you have it, please say amen. Amen, I hear you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest or noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. So today, you guys, I want to talk to you all about renewing the mind. Renewing the mind. And like I stated in my prayer, this could be a elementary, you know, verse or an elementary scripture. But at the end of it all, it is a good reminder for those of us who know this scripture. It's a good place for us to start if we don't know the scripture. And this is also a beware, you need to guard your mind kind of sermon as well. And so as we get into this word, I want you to really reflect on your inner thoughts and what you think about on a day-to-day basis. And I typically just really want that reflection, right? Like we want to reflect on our minds. And so let's go ahead and dig into it. And so our thoughts shape our reality. Our thoughts shape what happens in our heart. And what happens in our heart becomes our actions. And on a day-to-day basis, we are thinking anywhere from 6,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. According to Google, it says that 95% of those thoughts are things that we thought about the day before. And 80% of those, unfortunately, are negative thoughts. Now, this is the average person. I'm not talking about any of you. But the average person, thoughts are negative. And so God has been dealing with me with my thoughts and how I approach certain situations. And, you know, every time you grow in the Lord, you go to another level, and then the devil attacks you harder and harder. And then he tries to get your mind. He tries to take your mind, because guess what? If he can take the head, he can take the whole body, right? And so when we're talking about the thoughts and we're talking about what it means to renew my mind, what he was explaining to me is that it is a battle each and every day. Every day I have to fight to keep my mind right. Every day I have to, even as a preacher and a minister, staying in my word, praying and worshiping, I have to fight even to open my mouth sometimes. And that's why this worship today, fighting my battles, is how I open my mouth and I rebuke the devil back to hell and send him back to where he belongs with my mouth. But I have to open my mouth in order to do that. That's how I fight my battles, is through this word of God. And so when we're talking about this battle, all of you probably know, if you don't know, the armor of God, you have to put on the full armor of God. You can put on the belt of truth. You can have the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, and the gospel of truth. But if you don't have on your helmet, you're vulnerable. You're exposed easily. And all the devil has to do is do one dart to your head and you're done. Right? So we can have all of the armor on, but if our head is exposed, it's an easy target. And so even when we talk about in the beginning, Adam and Eve, God told Adam not to eat from the tree. And what did the devil do? You know, I'm sure, you know, Eve was like, I wonder what's on that tree. It was a thought. But then the devil slipped in on that one thought, and he influenced her decision to eat from the tree. And so when we sometimes have the wrong thought, if we are not guarded and we don't have our helmet of salvation, we're not praying and we're not rebuking those thoughts to hell, when we're not doing those things, the devil can slip in and he can influence your next decision. And so I'm going to talk about transforming the mind. I'm going to talk about what it looks like to cast down our thoughts. And I'm going to also talk about what can happen if we don't cast them down, and what can happen if we do cast them down, right? And so as I dig into this, we're going to bounce around to a few different scriptures to get to the place that we need to go. And I just want you to really reflect on your thoughts and be honest with yourself. This is just between you. This is you, right? It's your inward battle. You ain't got to tell nobody what you battle with. You don't have to tell us what your thoughts are. This is between you and God. But I want you to have this opportunity to learn what it means and how it looks to renew your mind. And so Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be ye not conformed to this world." We cannot be conformed to this world. This would be a rebellion if we were to think the way that the world does. The world says that it's okay for a woman and a woman to be married and a man to be married. If we think that that's okay, we're conforming to the world. We are rebelling against God. We're rebelling against Christ. So we have to separate ourselves from the thoughts of the world. The world thinks that it's okay to go out and get drunk all the time and get high and all the things. If we conform ourselves to that thought process, then we are rebelling against God. And I'm not being mean. I was one of those people that drank, so I have my own stuff. But I was rebelling against God because I thought it was okay. And so what I'm coming here to say is that we cannot be like the world. We're here, but we're not of this world. We're just here. And there's going to come a time where we can be reintegrated into heaven and be with Jesus and to really fellowship and worship like we just did this morning. That's what's going to happen in heaven, and I can't wait. It's a beautiful thing to feel his spirit at all times, and that it sits on you and it dwells within you. That same spirit is inside of us, and we just have to unlock that. And so to be transformed means that we think differently. We keep our mind on the things of Christ. We keep our mind on the things of heaven. And we live our lives that way. We show that in how we act and how we are. And so in my commentary, I was studying David Gusick. And this is one thing that I learned in my ministry when I first started preaching about 12 years ago. And the Lord said that, or the Lord told my pastor to kind of help us with this. In ministry, there are no feelings, no emotions. You stick to the truth and the word of God. I don't come up here to tell you how I feel. I come up here to tell you what the word says. And so that's very important for us to understand and know, even in our personal lives. We don't do things based on feelings. And so when I wake up in the morning, it's not about how do I feel today. It's what does God say about me today? Because what God says does not change, but our feelings and our emotions go up and down like this. It's not, how do I feel about my wife today? How do I feel about my husband today? What does the word say? To submit, right? That's what God says. And so we have to be very, very careful and very intentional. How do I feel about worshiping today? Not how do I feel. There are times that I come in here and I'm like, Lord, I just can't press through. I can't press through. And God said, what are you talking about? What did my word say? Rejoice at all times is what the word says in Philippians 4:4. And he says, I say it again, rejoice. We are to rejoice no matter the circumstances. We are to stay focused on what the Lord says and what he has in heaven. And all the things that come from God are good. And so, people of God, we have got to make sure that we don't do things based on our feelings, but we also can't be so focused on doing that we lose sight of the renewing of the mind. Just because I do something doesn't mean my mind is being renewed. I'm just doing it because the Bible says to do it, but there's no heart connection. There's no heart posture, there's no surrender. I'm just doing it because God said that I need to read my Bible or that I need to study my Bible. He didn't say read it, he said study it, right? And so the only reason why I'm studying my Bible is because the Bible said so. But if you don't have a connection with the Lord, if your relationship with him is not a full throttle relationship, then you're doing it's all void. Because there's no changing, there's no transformation. Transformation is when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Something that used to crawl now flies. That is a transformation. You don't even know what color the butterfly is supposed to look like because it's just a caterpillar, right? And so whenever it becomes this butterfly, you see this beautiful blue and green or whatever color it is. That's what our transformation, our old life should look nothing like our new life. Our old nature should look nothing like our new nature. And that's what God is saying in our thoughts. Your old thoughts should look nothing like your new thoughts because your thoughts should be focused on me. Angela just said. She said, when you go to the club, you was in there praising and dancing, doing all the things. Your praise and worship in the club should look nothing like your praise and worship in the house of God. Hallelujah. Right? And so we have to make sure that we are renewing our minds, that we are changing the way that we think. And as we change the way that we think, that comes down deep in our hearts, and then our actions change. What we do is different. We don't go to the club no more because our heart has been changed. Our mind has been renewed. It's not fun anymore. Now I'm getting high off of Jesus Christ. I'm getting drunk in the spirit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we're doing. We're changing our mindset. And the people around us, our environment, our community becomes different because I'm not hanging out with the same friends that are doing the same old things. I'm finding a new environment because I can't grow. I'm going to be stagnant here because I'm trying to hold on. Transform. We got to change. We got to be different. Getting ahead of myself. The next thing is, we have the opportunity, y'all, the beautiful opportunity to cast down thoughts. Praise God for that. You ought to praise him for it. Thank you, Jesus. So in 2 Corinthians 10, I'm going to read verses 3 through 6, I believe, 3 through 6. But it's really verse 5 that we're going to kind of hang out. But for 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And so here, Paul is talking about how he walks in the flesh, right? Like we all do, because we're made of flesh. We are not Jesus. We are not fully God, and we are not fully man, but the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And so what he's saying to the Corinthians here, because the Corinthians, they really love to fight with carnal weapons. They just admired them. And he was trying to get them to understand that, no, like, you have to fight with spiritual weapons. And so in this particular scripture, he was basically saying that although we walk in the flesh, our weapons are not fleshly. They can't be fleshly. See, the Corinthians, they were fighting, instead of using the belt of truth, they fought with manipulation. You know some people like that, manipulating? I do too. Breastplate of righteousness, instead of that, they fought with the image of success. Everybody wants to be successful. They want to have this image of themselves, right? And then instead of the shoes of the gospel, they fought with smooth words. Give the gab. Instead of the shield of faith, they fought with perception over power. I'm sorry, perception of power. Instead of the helmet of salvation, they fought with lording over authority. And instead of the sword of the spirit, they fought with human schemes and programs. And so Paul considered these carnal weapons as manipulative and deceitful ways for the opponents. Instead of just fighting with the truth, fighting with the word of God that was harnessed inside of us, that we got to see Jesus live. And so in this verse, strongholds are referring to wrong thoughts and perceptions. And this is what we were talking about in the song, that we can cast down. We can cast down these strongholds. And these are the wrong thoughts and perceptions contradicting the true knowledge of God and the nature of God. They are expressed in arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against God. So anything and everything that comes against the word of God, you will be in an argument with someone, and, you know, if it is not of the Lord, cast it down. My husband and I were at a dinner last night, and there was a couple of married couples there. And one girl said, she said, yeah, we'd be in an argument and he'll just start praying. And she said, she can't do nothing but, you know, be like, okay, you know, like it brings it down. And so I was like, oh, I need to try that. And so you have to make sure that whenever you are in an argument, why don't you just start praying? Just start speaking in tongues and see what they do. They're going to be like, what? Like, what is that? But the Lord will, he allows us to cast down those thoughts. And so I kind of get gangster with the devil, because I'm like, when he tries to send me a thought, I'm just like, I rebuke you and I send you back to the pits of hell where you belong. Please go away. That's how I fight. So I'm just like, in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, he must flee. Darkness has to flee in the name of Jesus. And that's how we take our thoughts captive. So anytime that a thought begins to creep into your mind that you're not good enough or whatever the case is, or, you know, your husband getting on your nerves and trying to lead you down the wrong way, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I send you back to the pits of hell where you belong. And then you replace it with the word of God, right? And so but in order to replace it with the word of God, you got to know the word of God. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? You got to start rebuking the negativity. And you have to push through even when you want to give up, even when you're tired, even when you're exhausted, you feel like you're crawling on the ground trying to get to the finish line, get up, you know? And so in order to do that, though, we have to hang on to the word of God. And so our thoughts must be brought into captivity. We have the authority over our thoughts. And that is so important, y'all, because our thoughts affect our entire body. And I'm going to get to this in a minute, but we are the temple. We are his temple. We are an instrument. They preached my whole sermon in worship today. But we are his instrument. We play the music that he wants us to play. We say the things that he wants us to say. Anything that goes against God is of the world and of Satan. So who are you going to serve? Am I going to serve the devil with my thoughts, or am I going to serve Jesus? Right? And when the thoughts of temptation rise, you have control over those too. Pastor talked about that in his sermon this morning. You have control and authority to rebuke it back to hell, because that does nothing but get you in trouble. And so with that, y'all, we have that ability to cast down our thoughts. We have that ability. It says it in the word. And so when we get back to Philippians 4 and 8, the first thing he says is whatever is true. We could stop right there with that whole scripture, because what is true is the word of God. Jesus Christ is true. John 14:16 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me but by me, but comes to the Father by me. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. He is the truth. So we could stop there with the scripture, but Paul went on, right? And he talked about being noble and just, meaning to be honorable and have true humility, innocent, holy, to be pure, clean, and modest, perfect in him, and innocent. So what we watch on TV, we got to be careful, y'all. Our eye gaze, that's how things get in. We have to be extremely careful through the TV that we watch, the movies we watch. And some of it seems innocent, but there's an agenda on the other end of it. And we have to be mindful of that. What our kids watch, we have to be mindful. And what we listen to, what we read, let it be pure. Let it be clean. Whatever is lovely, whatever acceptable or friendly towards, no gossip, right? Christians shouldn't gossip. Something that's good, of good report, well spoken of, or reputable. If it be a virtue, if it be an excellence, if it be praiseworthy, think, meditate, examine these things. That's what the word of God means. That's what the scripture means. And we don't worry for anything, but we rejoice in all things. We celebrate in all things. If you're going through a trial, start celebrating and rejoicing and see what God does. He will fix it because of your posture, your heart posture. And so when we're in that sense of surrender and we're loving the Lord through it, and he sees our commitment to him, he will fix it right then. Turn around and you'll be like, ooh, how did that happen? And so last but not least, y'all, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. I'm going to flip with y'all because I don't have that one ready. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. And it reads, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are God's temple. You do not belong to yourself. You do not belong to Satan. We belong to Jesus Christ. And we belong to him because he paid the price for us. He went to the cross with his life and died for us, but rose, thank you, Jesus, 3 days later. So although he bought us as a price, we devote everything that we do to him. I don't get to decide how I fulfill my purpose. God tells me how I fulfill my purpose. I never thought I would preach when I was a kid. I knew I would do something with the Lord because he placed me in that position at an early age, but I never would have thought that it would be preaching the word of God. He told me, and he's telling each and every one of you that there's something bigger on the other side of this. And so when we're talking about how we are his temple and we belong to him, we have to make sure that our temple is clean. We have to make sure that it's renovated. Renew means to renovate, to get the old stuff out and to put in the new stuff. And so we don't think the same anymore. We don't do the things that we used to do anymore. And so two people that the Lord put on my heart to share, and I thought about Judas, right? Judas, who betrayed Jesus. I imagine the thoughts that he toiled with after he betrayed him. He was broke down, right? I betrayed Jesus, the Son of God. And what did he do? He hung himself and committed suicide. Sometimes our thoughts can bog us down so much that we start taking things into our own hands. And before, all he had to do was wait a couple more days. But he didn't. Well, me, myself, when I was 15 years old, I tried to commit suicide. And my mother walked in unexpectedly. And if she had been 1 second late, I would not be standing here before you. But I battled with my thoughts about myself, about my mistakes and the things that I had done. And God, there's no way God could love me. I was a perfectionist. And so I don't know if there's anyone here dealing with this or you know someone that's dealing with just the bog down of your thoughts, but that can send you to hell if we let it. But then there's Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And of course, he had toiled with his thoughts, the same things that Judas dealt with, that I dealt with, guilt and shame. He toiled with the same thing. But he repented and he fell on his knees. And he preached the first sermon. And 3,000 people were saved because his thoughts did not hold him captive, but he took them captive. And so as I get ready to close out, I'm going to say one last thing. God wants your thoughts, your negative thoughts, so that he can reframe them and he can make them better thoughts. Simple. And one thing my nephew said, my husband and I do a Bible study outside of church, and my nephew said, and this has stuck with me for weeks, he said, we fight from victory, not for victory. And we fight from victory because Jesus has already won at the cross. And so we don't fight for it. We're fighting from it. We've already won. So each and every one of us has already won the victory because of Jesus Christ and who we believe and who we love and all of, we are saved because of him. So because of that, the battle is won. We have the victory. It's in our hand. It's in our hearts. We just got to believe it and walk it out. And so I pray today that you would renew your mind, that you would cast down those thoughts that are holding you captive, and that you would take them captive in the name of Jesus and send them back to the pits of hell where they belong. And so as we get ready to close out, if you don't mind to stand with me, I'm going to go ahead and pray us out. And you can all bow. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you surrendered. As you started this message out, you gave us a heart of surrender, Lord. And God, when we surrender, that means we can't touch what you're trying to do, Lord God. The heart surgery that you're trying to perform on each and every one of us, God, help us to not touch what you're doing, but help us to stay in your spirit. Help us to feel you. Help us to invite you in each and every day, oh God, knowing that we just have to awaken what's already in us. And God, as we continue through this week, Lord God, I pray that what you have called me to do today would settle in our minds and our hearts, and that we would be renewed and transformed. And even if it's just a seed, Lord God, even if we just planted the seed, God, that you would come and water it and nurture it, Lord God, and that you would have your way with each and every person individually in this room and online. Help us to change the way that we think. Help us to give our thoughts over to you, oh God. And help us to rest in your presence daily so that we can fight this battle that we've already won. So help us to remain on the front line. Help us to not retreat or to compromise, oh God. But help us, oh God, to stand firm with the full armor of God, including the helmet of salvation, oh God. We hear your whispers. He hears your prayers. And I pray that all the things that are being whispered in this moment, oh God, that it's already done. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Tiara, for such a wonderful message. Because, you know, from time to time, we've all struggled with things in our mind. And if we don't get control over that and bring that thing captive, I mean, before we know it, we've just let it, it's out of control. And sometimes it's not even what we're thinking. But at the moment, that's what we thought. And we let it get out of control. So let's ask God to help us with that so that we can, you know, go to him and he'll tell us, you know what you're thinking is wrong, or just go to him. Let him comfort us, and he will. Amen. If you haven't already had a chance to give, we ask that you please do so. We need your help. On the 29th, both services, we will be having communion. And if you're interested in being baptized, please see Pastor Ike. And with that, I am going to say a prayer and dismiss us out. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being God, for being the true and one only God. We can go to you whenever we have anything on our mind, and it's us and you only, and it's not going anywhere when we tell you. You'll keep it to yourself, and you'll help us with it, God. We struggle with things, that battlefield of the mind, God, but if we constantly pray to you and ask you to take it from us, it will come to us, but immediately it will leave. It will flee from us, God. Help us to remember that you have given us the Holy Spirit, the helper, and anything we need, we just come to you and pray and ask for it. I pray that no one leaves out of here feeling hopeless, God, but remembering that you can help us, and we can always turn to you. I pray that you give us traveling mercies on our way home. I pray for the offering that we're taking up here today, Father God, that you'll just bless it tenfold. Bless those who wanted to give but had it not. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.